Radio.
Everybody, how are you tonight? I wish I could say I'm having a great day. You know, every once in a while we have a bad day, and that's my day today. So anyway, I apologize to our listeners who were planning on hearing Don McLean tonight, this afternoon. I'm sorry, we had a miscommunication with his people, so we're going to reschedule for a future date. But we have a great guest on tonight. Her name is Carolyn Hennessy. You know her. You've seen her. And, oh, my God, I don't know how she sleeps. I mean, her schedule is overwhelming, everything she's been in. Oh, my God. But before we start, let's say thank you to our sponsors, The Hive Bar and Bistro in Clarkfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Oka Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org, For Pete's Sake, The Observer, West Hudson Publishing Company in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Hot Dog Truck and Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. I'm waiting for John to join us because I have to call Carolyn, and I don't want to leave you guys with dead air, but before we get started, let's just talk a little bit about Carolyn. Carolyn, she's an Emmy Award-winning actress. She's been in Revenge, True Blood, General Hospital forever. I mean, she's just celebrating her 500th episode, and that's amazing. I have to talk to her about DH because I haven't watched it in years. Oh, my God. Legally Blonde 2, St. Agatha, Terminator 3. I mean, she's been in, you name it, she's been in it. So I need to call her. However, I don't want to leave you guys hanging with, like I said, dead air. So I'm hoping John is having issues with his internet tonight. So I'm waiting for him to join us. But in the meantime, I'm going to call Carolyn because I don't want to leave her waiting. And I don't want to leave you guys waiting. So let me get her number here. I have to leave you with dead air for a moment. I apologize because I'm here by myself. Hang on one moment, okay? Bear with me, all right? I apologize again. Like I said, today has been one shitty day. So here we go. Hang on, folks. I'll be right with you. Everybody, I have Carolyn Hennessy on the line with me, and I am just thrilled to the gill. Carolyn Hennessy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. Well, I'm lying. I'm not so great, but I'm okay. You're cheering me up, so.
Wait a minute. What's going on? No.
Just a bad day. That's all. We all get them once in a while.
Holy. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to help.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, today's my bad day, so I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for joining us. So my co-host, John, just joined us. Hi, John. We have Carolyn Hennessy
online. Hello. Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm fabulous. How are you?
Oh, what a day. I think Joanne rubbed off on me.
Oh, you're having a bad day too, John?
Yeah, I just got disconnected from the internet, and we finally got put on like 2 seconds ago, so that's why I'm late.
Oh,
okay,
sorry.
Guys,
yeah.
Totally unacceptable. Totally.
Exactly.
Unacceptable.
Exactly. Well, we're glad you're doing great. I mean, my God, I was looking at your bio, and I. When do you sleep, girl?
I just discovered recently that apparently I don't need that many hours of sleep. So it's usually between like, you know, midnight and 5:30.
Right.
I try and get a few winks in then.
Well, it must be playing all those vampire roles too. You've been in Revenge, True Blood. I mean, Cougar Town. I mean, the list is just humongous. And I gotta tell you, I have not watched General Hospital since Luke and Laura and the Cassadine days.
Right.
And
right.
And you have been on for, you're approaching your 500th, or you did the 500th episode?
No,
already.
I was surprised to find myself that I'm coming up on it.
Wow.
We've got about 10 more to go. Your listeners will be able to tell you, will be able to pinpoint it. But I think the next episode that I film will be 488.
Wow.
So yeah, it's coming.
Wow. And now when you do that, I was told that you are the first show to go back to actually filming again after the virus. Is that true?
I think we are the second soap. I think.
Oh, soap.
I could be wrong. But I think it was either Days or YNR that went back, and then I think they shut down again, and then I think they reopened. I don't know. It's all such madness. But we are back, and we've been back now for about a month. Yes, so that's very exciting.
Well, you know what? It's killing me. You sound like such a sweetheart. I can't believe you play so many villain roles. Do you love the villain roles?
So much fun.
Oh, I
so
bet.
So much fun.
I guess when you want to be a bitch, there you go, right?
That's it. You know, listen, I'd like to say, hey, I have to dig really deep. But do I? I don't know.
Right,
don't know.
Exactly.
Right,
right. Exactly. But I believe it or not, I know you a lot from Jesse, because I used to watch it with my kids.
Right. Yeah.
And you were great on that. You were fantastic on that.
Another villain.
Right.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. You were playing another villain. Exactly. So now, other than the General Hospital, are you been filming anything else, or no, you're pretty much laying low like everybody else?
Well, nothing has been filming. What I've been so incredibly blessed to be doing some animation voiceover. But
oh,
that,
great.
And that's all I can say. Big old non-disclosure agreements. Oh, yeah. So, but it's fun, and I cannot tell you how grateful I am. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I can feed my dog, I can
right.
pay my mortgage, and it gives me something to do.
Right. That's great. Oh,
right?
And you're a big animal lover, I hope. I know, because we got one going crazy in the background here.
Well,
on our side.
I'm surprised mine aren't. Yeah, I've got four dogs, one cat, and that sounds like a big dog in the background.
Yeah, John, what kind of dog?
My dog is named Ripley, and when I got him off of a place called Pet Finder, where they batch you up with puppies, okay?
Man.
So the funny story with Ripley was when he was just a puppy when I found him, and the people at the place told me, he's not going to get much bigger than like 12 to 15 pounds. He's a small breed dog.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just imagine now. And when we went to see him at the pet place, he was so docile and quiet. And we thought he was, you know, something was wrong with him. We thought he was defective in some way. Okay. But I think the people drugged him. Okay. Because now he's 75 pounds. And I think he has part greyhound in him, because all he does is run. He constantly runs. I take him out in the field to run for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. He can't breathe. He comes back up, and he's ready to go again. And he's not stopped barking. I can't control him.
You know what? It sounds like it's 75 pounds of love. And believe you.
Oh, yeah.
They know when they have been rescued.
All your pets are rescues, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah. No question.
Yeah.
No question. And
they're the best ones.
People that I really love, when they say, hey, we got a new dog, a fantastic rescue, right? And I see their little eyes. They kind of like, you know, go side to side real quick. It's like, uh-oh, she's going to catch us. And I say, look, you know what? I love people who take any animal. I really love it when you rescue. So I say, all right, fine, lie to me. Just lie to me. Tell me it was a rescue.
Yeah. I just rescued a 6-year-old in January. So
yeah.
He won't leave my side, but it's so true. The rescues, they are such, just so much more appreciative and they're just more loving, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, Ripley, cut it out, puppy.
Oh, that's goodness. All right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put myself on mute
and I'm gonna see if I can quiet him down.
Okay.
Be gentle. He's
yes, of course.
He's obviously alerting you to something. So it's like, okay, there's something he wants you to see. So.
Or he wants his attention, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So now when things get up and going, obviously you're going to be doing General Hospital again, right? And what else is coming up?
Well, I've got a who knows? I've got a movie coming up with Darren Bousman at the helm, and Darren Bousman, as some of your listeners may know, directed Saw 2, 3, and 4, but also directed me in my first horror film called Saint Agatha, and that was a couple of years ago. So I'm going back to work with Darren Bousman. So much fun. Love him to death. He's so, so good.
Mm.
And we're just trying to find out where we're going to be filming, you know,
yeah.
where we can go. And that's for the foreseeable future. That, the animation, got a couple of other animation things coming up, and General Hospital. But see, everything has been put on hold. So right now we're just starting to get, you know, the breakdowns and who's casting what and what's
right.
going on in Hollywood. So, you know, so we're looking around. We're seeing what's what.
And what are the restrictions they are telling you about in regard to when you guys go back to filming General Hospital?
Filming GH? Well, we've already been up and running for a month, so I've actually already filmed a couple of episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, so what it is is everyone maintains social distancing as much as possible.
Right.
And you have to be masked up from your car into the studio at any point in the studio except when you are in your dressing room.
Mm.
And then you can take it off, or when they start the countdown to start filming, when the cameras start rolling and they start the countdown, it's like, you know, masks off, and then it's 5, 4, 3, and then right after that scene, you have to put it right back on again. So, you know, but listen, it's that or we don't work.
Exactly.
And so it's like, okay.
So not many kissing scenes going on, I would imagine.
Well, listen, Diane never really has all that many kissing scenes, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, my goodness. I want to ask you, I want to go back to Jesse. Was that your dog that you had in the show?
No. That was a dog named Brody, but, of course, in the show it was named Zeus, and it was this beautiful little, I think it was a little chihuahua. And oh my gosh, what a well-behaved dog!
Yeah, well, when I found out you were an animal lover and a rescuer, you know, I remembered the puppy in the show, so I was like, oh, I wonder if that was your dog. So
no, but it's interesting because I was fairly new to animal advocacy at that point, and so I was very much, you know, hey, how are you treating this dog? How's this? Is this dog, you know, is it, you know, American Humane Standards and blah, blah. And then I realized, oh my gosh, this dog is better treated than I am.
Wow. Well, that's true, yeah. Right? Oh, he's right. A star too, I guess, right?
That's right. It's,
oh,
it's,
man.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. What's going on with the swing of things with Owen Wilson and John Lovitz? Is that happening in the spring, or are they putting that off too?
It was actually Luke Wilson, and that's out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Listen, the Wilson boys.
Yeah.
You can't tell them apart. No, I'm kidding.
I know,
kidding.
Right?
Well, They're both adorable. Luke Wilson, John Lovitz, Cord Overstreet, Olivia Culpo, who is a beautiful Miss Universe, myself, Linda and Matt McCoy. It's so much fun in Jamaica for those 3 weeks that we filmed on an actual working swinger resort.
Wow.
But that's out now. So you can find it.
Wow. And you're your book Pandora. What is that about? It's a tween series. Did you get
it's
that
a series.
From working with the kids? From working with the kids at Jesse?
No. I started that in 2004. It was actually completed in, I think, 2012 or 13.
And what is it about?
It's a retelling of the classical Greek myths of Pandora. But it's for tweens. So Pandora, it's a series of seven novels, and they're all out, and they're really, really fun. And Pandora is this fabulous, you know, she's the daughter of Prometheus, and she's this demigoddess, and she's living in ancient Athens in this kind of, you know, ancient world with modern overtones. And she finds the box of evil. She takes it to school. All hell breaks loose. And she's given a choice by Zeus, you know, eternal torture and torment, or you have to go and get everything that got out of the box, you know, the box of evil, back in the box. And she says, okay, I will. And the wacky hijinks ensue. But it's really, really fun. And it's all about, you know, girls to the front and you know, making adult choices when you have to, and your friends are your family, and really kind of stepping up to the plate, taking responsibility for what you do, and sometimes you get to save the world. So it's a lot of fun.
And where did you find the time to write seven books? I mean, really. You are amazing. Unbelievable. And then you had a New York Times bestseller, The Secret Life of Damien Spinelli.
And
what is that about? What is that about?
Well, as your GH fans will undoubtedly know, Damien Spinelli is one of the most interesting, fun, one of the great characters on General Hospital. He's kind of like your anti-soap. Your anti-soap character, because he's quirky, and he's very spectrum-y, but in the best possible way. He can crack into the Pentagon computer system. I mean, he's just this wonderful, wonderful young man, but he considers himself to be something out of a Dashiell Hammett, story. So he calls himself the Jackal, and so it's 17 stories. And each one figures at least one, two, sometimes three characters of the main characters on the General Hospital canvas. But it's all these crazy stories from his point of view. So we've got Luke and Tracy, and Tracy Quartermain has Luke Spencer tied up in an opium den underneath the city of Port Charles, and one of the old opium dens, because she doesn't want him to go off and desert her anymore. There's a really fun sort of Some Like It Hot parody with Jason Morgan and Sam McGall.
And then
Sonny Corinthos, and his adventures and Laura, and oh my gosh, they're all there, you know, Alexis, everyone's there. But it's really fun, and it's funny, and I did a lot of research to make sure that the chronology and the history stayed correct. So,
any future books coming up or no?
I'm working on it's not an adult novel. It's a novel for adults, and believe me, there's a difference.
It's true.
I'm working on a novel for adults at the moment. So we shall see where that goes.
Now, St. Agatha, has that been released yet, or is that not out?
Yeah, that's been out for a while, and you can find that. I think you can still find it on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
Hulu, Amazon Prime. Yeah, it had a theatrical release, and now it's on Netflix. But it's really fun, and boy, if your audience wants to see me in a completely different light.
Yeah, I'd catch you in that,
Because I'm really, really awful, but with no sense of humor.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And it's on Netflix? It's on Netflix now.
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I'll have to check it out. I mean, everybody thinks I'm crazy. I've never seen anything on Netflix. So one of these days, I got to break down and watch something. And you may take me to it, Carol.
I hope so. That's my job.
Yes. Now, I'm just in awe of all the things. You're also a trapeze artist.
Yes, I am.
And when did you learn it? Where was who? When? Where? What?
There are sort of really kind of two different styles of trapeze. The one's the flying trapeze that everybody knows from, like, you know, Ringling Brothers or the movie
right.
trapeze. Then there's the hanging or static or single trapeze.
Yeah.
And people see a lot in the Cirque du Soleil. And that I do both, but I'm really focusing on the static trapeze now because I have a rig at the end of my driveway, so I'm able to do that 3 times a week, take classes and try to avoid the COVID-19, you know,
yeah.
the COVID-15 or whatever it is. I'm trying to stay in shape.
Do you use a net at the house or?
There's no net because it's just too low to the ground. We of course you always use a net. When we're flying,
right.
flying trapeze. But I had to learn the hanging trapeze for a production of Comedy of Errors that I did at university many, many years ago.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, and I just stuck with it. It's like it's a very interesting skill or hobby or athletic activity because you either really love it or you just want to run away from it because it's a stupid workout. It's
yeah.
just ridiculous. So, you know, and I'm not somebody who kind of has fun at a gym.
Well, I was going to say, that's got to be your workout because,
oh,
my
huge.
God, it's
yeah.
I your legs alone and, I mean, your upper body, I mean, you've got to really,
mm-hmm.
really be strong yeah. to do
mm-hmm.
that.
Yep.
And also not be afraid to kill yourself, too, in the
that's
process.
True. That's true. Yeah. Like your tongue, right.
Oh, absolutely. God forbid. Oh, no.
God.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I is there anything you'd like to tell the folks out there? What they can catch you
yes.
in?
Yes, you can find my animal advocacy podcast on YouTube, on my YouTube channel. And that's
oh, that's right.
That's right. It's called Animal Magnetism, and we are the shows had to be kind of put on hold during this whole quarantine situation. But we're going to start that back up in a few weeks. But past episodes are still incredibly relevant. So please go find that. If you've got kids, get the Pandora series because they will thank you.
Right.
And society will thank you. And.
Yeah.
And you know, hug an animal. And you can find me. I do a daily challenge. It's now kind of every other day, but it's a daily challenge on Instagram. So find me on Instagram for the daily challenge. And it's things that are that kind of I give a choice of usually two things every day to help keep everybody sane and happy and productive.
Well, you mentioned Instagram. I was just thinking before when I asked you about how you guys are, you know, filming with the virus. I think I saw on TikTok the God, I don't know her name. The daughter on the Goldberg. She was showing how it was with them filming, and
mm-hmm.
they've got everything in plastic boxes. Their wardrobe is in plastic. Their shoes, and then they've got a bin for them to put their own clothing. And then they, in between filming, they're sitting in a trailer with a plexiglass in between them.
Yeah.
So I mean,
yeah.
they're really down to the wire on that.
Right. There's no more craft service. There's no more catering truck where you can just kind of, or like lunch, everything has to be passed out to you. You can't like go through a lunch line anymore.
Wow.
From what I understand. Yeah, it's interesting. I look forward to the days when we can get back to the old normal.
Yeah.
Or,
well,
you know,
as normal, as normal as what people consider normal. Who is normal anyway? But
right.
I know exactly what you mean.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Now, I wanted to ask you about the radio show Animal Magnetism. What do you guys talk about on there? Is it
it's advocacy based as opposed to activist based, and so it deals with real world solutions to real world problems as opposed to, you know, yeah. I'd like to burn down all the zoos. No. We want to keep the modern zoos and aquariums because they are the last arcs of preservation for, you know, we lose 150 species a day on this planet because of human encroachment and pollution and what we've done as humans to this planet.
No.
So it's really how can we preserve and conserve everything we've got now, and if we are to ever find an inch of wild space that that we can repopulate. We've got the gene pools, and thanks to modern zoos and aquariums, we've got the gene pools and the species to do that. So it's understanding, you know, the fact that animals don't need us and don't care about us, nor should
they. Right, leave them alone.
But we desperately need them.
Right,
We need them. You know, the whole kind of food chain and the cycle and and it's and so we talk about, you know, everything from domestics to exotics, and you know, I'm so anti-factory farming. How do we combat that? How do we combat animal cruelty in you know, in parts of the world where that, you know, consume the animals that we consider to be our best friends, you know, dogs and cats? How do we how do we kind of work with that and try and eradicate that and understand? It's all about understanding culture and trying to maybe present a different perspective. But I've had the greats on, you know, Jungle Jack Hanna and people from the Georgia. So I was very, very lucky. My animal advocacy mentor, a man named Dr. Gray Stafford, put me in touch with a lot of people. And as a result, I'm an ambassador for American Humane Association. I'm an ambassador for my wonderful Los Angeles Zoo, which has just reopened. So things are good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm a big animal lover myself, so that's fantastic. I never watched The Tiger King. Did you? And what did you think of the farm?
No, I didn't watch The Tiger King. I understand that it was more about the rivalry between these two individuals, the woman and the actual Tiger King. But I was just...
But what did you think of the preservation that they had? Do you think that was cruelty or...
No, I didn't. I did not see it. So I don't know. I did not hear great things. And to be perfectly honest with you, I have seen evidence of so much animal abuse in my 13 years of doing this that I really don't need to see any other animal abuse ever again. It's like I've seen enough for everyone else. So I can't, it does me no good. What you can show me, I've seen worse.
Right.
So,
it's horrible. It's horrible.
As a big
animal advocate, I mean, are you noticing over in California or LA or anywhere on the West Coast that with the virus and not the virus itself, but because
you cut out for a few seconds. So the last thing I heard was, have I noticed?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me fix this.
That's
all right. Have you noticed? I know I've heard a lot over here on the East Coast that, you know, people are losing their jobs, so they have to give up their pets. Are you finding that out over there?
Not that I've heard. I would not doubt it. I would not doubt it, and I think that is one of the more immoral and hideous byproducts of this situation with this virus, which I believe has been politicized, and the fact that it has been politicized, as far as I am concerned, the fallout from that are a loss of jobs, loss of income, businesses being destroyed. Far more people are going to suffer from the economy, you know, the devastation to the economy
than
the illness. And guess what? Pets are included in that. And it's a travesty. It's just a travesty.
Yeah, because the shelters are suffering. They can't handle the overflow.
Right.
That's why I was wondering if it was happening out there, because it's definitely happening over here. So.
I'm sure it is. So my suggestion to people who are listening to this is, please donate a can of food, donate a towel, donate a chew toy, donate a dog bed. If you've got stuff lying around the house that you're not using anymore, donate it to your local shelter, please.
Yes.
Please. So,
I don't know how anyone could give up their pet. I mean, I couldn't think of
I think it comes down to feeding your kids or your pet.
You know,
sometimes it does.
I know. I believe there is always a way as well.
Right.
But
It's sad. It's just
poverty,
a sad
poverty
situation.
Poverty does crazy things to the brain. And
yes.
and the idea
yeah.
that you're going to lose your business, you're going to lose your home, you're going to lose you know your insurance, and what's your expendable? Because a lot of people do not think the way we do that animals are part of the family.
Right.
And so I mean I'll go without dinner. My dogs won't. But
right.
but we I want to bring people around to that way of thinking. But you have to do it, you know. You have to kind of you have to meet people where they are, and if you say you've got to feed your dog, people will go, hey, you know what? I've got four kids to feed. I can't feed my dog, and you know, and I can barely give my kids nutritious food at this point because I don't have a job.
Right.
So I try to understand and I try not to, you know, try not to judge.
Right.
Because you've got to, you know, you have to try and come at people with love and you kind of
yeah.
go, okay, all right, what can I do to help you? What can I do
exactly.
to help you? So.
Right. Let me help you. Help me help you.
Help
me
help,
help you. Yeah.
Help me help
so.
You. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's something. But, oh, my goodness, what a pleasure having you and speaking with you tonight. I thank you so much.
My pleasure, indeed.
Oh, God, I can't wait to see you be so nasty again because you're so sweet.
Listen, there's a great line in Hollywood. It's the snake gets the best lines and the best shoes. So, you know, let's have some fun. Yeah.
Right. John, you watch True Blood, and haven't you?
Yeah, I watched True Blood, the whole thing. And the only thing I missed was the Witch series, the Witch episodes. I forgot what
that's
season
right.
that was. That's the.
I think that was.
Yeah,
three.
That's the one I missed. Yeah, I missed that one.
What's your role in True Blood, Carol?
I'm Rosalind Harris, the old timey authority vampire with the Texas twang. Yeah, I'm a member of the Vampire Authority.
You could pull that off for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my goodness. Well, thank you again, Carolyn. It's been a pleasure. And I all the best to you. Good luck with filming and getting everything back on the road. Let's get the show on the road. Let's get
absolutely.
Life back together again. Take care of those animals. We love what you do. And appreciate it very, very much.
Well,
and,
I appreciate you, too. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. And we're going to tell people to go check out your show as well on UBNRadio.com.
Actually, you can find it on YouTube now. Yeah. UBN is I'm no longer with them, but everything's archived, and it's on my YouTube channel. And
excellent.
Yeah, and you can find me, Twitter and Instagram and the website and all of that, so.
Yep, that sounds great. Excellent.
Thank you.
Well, Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us. You take care. Oh, my goodness. Have a good evening. And
thank you,
you
Carolyn.
Thank
bye-bye. You.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.